You unlock this door with a key of imagination. Beyond it, another dimension. A dimension of sight, a dimension of mind, a dimension of sound. You've just crossed over into the Grateful Dead Zone. Greetings, cats and kittens, foxes and coyotes. Oh, welcome to the Grateful Dead Zone and an incredibly special Grateful Dead Zone. Well, first, the date of this aforementioned Grateful Dead Zone. That would be April 20th. And I don't know why, but that date seems to have some significance, certainly here in the People's Republic of Santa Cruz. But most importantly, joining me in studio, Henry Kaiser.
Hey, folks. Hey. Here I am.
There you are. Musician extraordinaire, deadhead extraordinaire. Henry's going to join us for, well, this show idea was yours, Henry Kaiser.
Well, and we all know every once in a while Jerry Garcia is on, or Jerry Garcia transcended, and suddenly he's delivering more of whatever he delivers than he normally does. And I thought, why don't we do a show and do all examples of where Jerry's transcending and really doing something special and opening more doors than he typically opens in a door opening performance.
And that definition of door opening is always left to a very subjective thing. And I want to point out that the music for the next 3 hours is Henry's choice. I certainly...
Three quarters of it, yeah.
But I completely defer to your expertise in such things because, oh, wait for it, you're a actual authentic card-carrying musician, not a wannabe nerdy... wannabe rock critic, let alone. Only thing worse than being a wannabe musician is being a wannabe rock critic.
You know, let me say that I'm not talking about when Jerry is playing musically super good or technically better. I'm talking about when Jerry's telling a story better, connecting to those other doors of perception to where it's just inspiring and it lifts the audience and the whole band up and still lifts us up today when we hear a recording of it.
And I would probably be extremely remiss not to point out that, yes, this is, in fact, not only a special Grateful Dead Zone, it is a pledge drive. Yes, we're going to be shamelessly soliciting your donations across the next 3 hours. And if you're just tuning in and you're saying, hey, isn't What a Week supposed to be on here with Tony Russomanno? Nope, Tony is sitting this show out. But if you're a What a Week listener, please, this would be an excellent time to quantify your love for What a Week and what Tony and I do every week as we try to relive the trauma of the previous week's terrible news with Republicans on parade and all the other tomfoolery that we do. But this is just straight Grateful Dead stuff. And, you know, talking about Jerry Garcia, I wanted to play something from the man himself. You may recognize the interviewer here, Henry.
What is it about the music and the Grateful Dead experience that seems to have attracted that group that's so into it?
I like to think that it's something about the context and the music allows people to define themselves in the largest possible way they'd like to, you know. That's what I'd like to think. There's something liberating about it.
Liberation is an important part of the Grateful Dead experience. Why don't we start at the beginning? Henry, you picked the song that you said Phil Lesh was Lesh's. So why don't you tee this song up and why you're picking this particular performance from the Boston Music Hall, June 9th of 1976?
Well, I played in Phil and Friends a couple of times, and he did say to me his favorite thing to open with was Cold Rain and Snow. And this is just a really nice and different Cold Rain and Snow, and it's an interesting board tape after the little repair that happens at the beginning, and everything's firing on 12 cylinders here, I think.
And without
maybe 13 cylinders.
Maybe 13, well, yeah. Is X in the building, as they would say? Well, let's start off, Cold Rain and Snow, Boston Music Hall.
Oh, I was at the show today.
Yeah, tell me about that now,
Just looked at the date and like, oh, I was at that. And we've got a couple of things from that show, and it was a great show. I was in college.
Speaking of subjective here. Well, this would be the tour, right? They'd retired the Wall of Sound in 1974. pretty much burned out of lugging that thing around and burned out with each other, et cetera, et cetera. They take the year off, 1975. They play three shows, only three shows that year. That great American Music Hall coming out party for Blues of Allah, a Winterland show, an oddball show, and then they played Lindley Field. And I think they showed up at Kezar, too.
They showed up at Kezar,
too. But then they decided to go back on the road in the summer of 76, stripped down, no wall of sound, but the sound must have still been pretty
good.
Very
beginning of the summer.
Yeah, so this would be right at the top of the tour. So anyway, without further ado, I know people are salivating to hear this particular number, and let us give it to them.
Thank you.
So, again, speaking as a musician, Henry Kaiser, a beloved local hero and producer of so many fine, fine records, what are you dialing in on the first number? So that's A Cold Rain of Snow. They've come on stage.
It's just the emotion, and there's the nostalgia of the old days when they first did that Obray Ramsey song, and they're excited to be back on the road again. There's just a lot happening there in the interaction between the band, and that board mix kind of is like you're standing on stage. Puts you in the middle of it.
And you raised an eyebrow at Mr. Lesh during that song. What did you hear
in that?
It's
just beautiful. You know, he's such a great bass player, and he plays beautifully on that. And they all sound like they're still in love with the song.
Which, you know, they always, the thing about the Dead was always keeping it surprising. It's only when they kind of got into the more formulaic nature of things later on that kind of the magic and the fun sort of went away, I think, for them. What was that great quote, I sent it to you, that Phil Lesh said about the difference between the later Dead, where they had the...
He said there was originally two-way communication between the band and the audience, and then it, you know... Stuff coming on.
It was informed communication.
Psychic channel. And the information was going back and forth as well as other things. And then the information started to only go one way later on.
And it was the energy. They had energy but not information,
yes,
basically.
They weren't getting information back. Yeah. Who knows?
Of course. Well, Lesh is someone who was definitely watching very closely and a super genius. I know this is a silly question. Super genius. You've spent time with both Mr. Garcia and Mr. Lesh, both at the same level of off-the-chart smarts, musically, conversationally, etc., or was Jerry in that kind of...
They're different.
...pole position?
They're different. One's more of a poet.
Yeah, which, again, I would say, and judging from Phil, some of Lesh's bass playing, if not his singing, my stuff to say. And let's talk about singing a second. By the way, this is the Grateful Dead Zone with Eric Nelson and special guest Henry Kaiser on KSQD Santa Cruz and KSQT Prunedale. And yes, it is pledge drive. So the next time you hear a piece of music, we're expecting that phone is going to ring at 831-900-5773. And the fact that I have to turn my head to look at the phone number is, well, symptomatic of the fact that maybe it's 420 today. What do you think? But
I'm not just thinking about Jerry's guitar playing. I'm thinking about his voice, his storytelling, what he's channeling. I'm thinking about a lot of things.
That's something that I think people, surprisingly, with all of the endless writing on the Dead and, let's face it, deification of Jerry Garcia, one thing you don't see enough of is praise for his singing ability. As a storyteller, a guy could come on and tell a Robert Hunter story or a Bob Dylan story or any story in tune with the emotion, every lyric enunciated. He was a great singer.
You know, but yes, but I think that there can be two different things. Somebody can be a great singer and not be a good storyteller, and he could be both.
Well, the true story, you know, the last conversation that Garcia had with Robert Hunter, the great lyricist, he said to Hunter, "You know, Bob, your words never stuck in my throat." You know, so, which really says it all about, you know, the who else could deliver a Robert Hunter lyric better than Jerry Garcia?
Yeah.
You know, Hunter knew who he was writing for.
So speaking of words, we're talking too much. What's that next?
Garcia Hunter. We never can talk too much.
What's that
next Garcia
Hunter song?
Well, you tell me. You picked it.
Yeah. So it's from Dead Set, not my favorite album, but there's just a great Friend of the Devil. Looks, sounds like it's with an edit from Two Different Nights.
And I'll tell you, this is the first time on the Grateful Dead Zone we've played what I uncharitably call the narcoleptic arrangement of Friend of the Devil,
yes.
the slow version. I've never really been, I always liked the kind of frisky live version.
Same
from
here.
72.
But this is good.
Yeah, this is good, and it's chosen. So once again, 831-900-5773, and one of these days I'll actually be able to remember the number and not have to look for it. Please call. This would be an excellent time if you're a fan of the Grateful Dead Zone or KSQD or Santa Cruz in general or the planet Earth to call in with a donation. And we have a matching donation, by the way. Any Bruce Larson is generously going to match anything you pledge. So we'd be very, very happy to hear that phone ring. Thank you. Popular psychedelic band, checking notes here, The Grateful Dead. I was Friend of the Devil, a Radio City Music Hall, 1980. That was, well, they opened up with an acoustic set. And you're right, that wasn't, the electric sets weren't as interesting as the acoustic sets, which were very interesting.
But that's a really nice Friend of the
Devil. That is, and I love how he builds that sort of cascading, you know, skating on ice, beautiful crystalline solo. For guitar nerds out there, so this is 80. What guitar would he have been using at that point, you know?
Oh, I don't remember.
Yeah, you know, it's tough. The Tiger Wolf, this, that, the other thing. People are always wondering about that. You're listening to The Grateful Dead Zone with Henry Kaiser sitting in. And the premise of this is, well, when Jerry Garcia hits it out of the park, when he somehow transcends the day-to-day Grateful Dead man in the T-shirt on stage, but actually kicked it up to a whole nother level. And Henry's helped to curate this list of interesting performances for a myriad number of different reasons. We're going to go till 2 o'clock with this as part of our pledge drive. An astonishing coincidence, and actually we didn't plan the entire pledge drive around the fact that it's 4:20. Because I don't know if you know this, Henry, there's apparently rumors that the Grateful Dead had some symbiotic relationship with marijuana and mood-enhancing chemicals. So I don't want to break the news to you here, but that's what I've heard. And I'm sure that no one listening to the Grateful Dead Zone knows what I'm talking about here, but somehow appropriate that we're doing
secret
this.
Knowledge.
Secret, I know. This is very secret knowledge. Well, you can't... Let's talk about, yes, it's time, as it always is in the Grateful Dead Zone, for the mighty main man with a master plan, the man who puts the word show in male chauvinism, and that's the great Ron McKernan.
Pig Pen.
Now, I admit, I got on the bus too late to ever see Mr. Penn. What did Pig Pen bring to the party?
Pig Pen was the original leader of the band, in a way. I've always wanted to make a narrative feature about Pig Pen's life called Take Me to the Leader of the Band. here's the blues. Here's the rhythm and blues. Here's the funk. Here's all that. And there's this lovely version of Hard to Handle.
Which comes from, I would think, and again, all of this is subjective, but if you had to have a desert island, one Grateful Dead desert island, one CD to take with you, Fallout from the Phil Zone, which
is a great CD where Phil selected his favorite stuff.
His favorite songs from the entire span of the band.
Yeah.
And what's interesting in this version that we're about to play to you is of all the versions of Hard to Handle that are out there, this was recorded by an audience member. So this was one of the early, because back in 71, tapers, you couldn't be a tape. I mean, they didn't have the little hidden digital equipment or forest of microphones. They were like giant things that you had to carry and lug around. But somehow somebody got a tape recorder, sounds like on the floor, obviously on the floor of the Palladium. Have you ever played the Palladium?
No. And
it's an old 40s ballroom on Hollywood Boulevard. So it's a big band ballroom on Hollywood Boulevard. So imagine the Grateful Dead there. And Phil picked a version, this audience version, not the soundboard version. So
it's special, you know, and I think this is a great example of the Grateful Dead as the dance band that they were originally, because they were a dance band. This is for people to dance to.
And
later on, people just dance no matter what. It doesn't matter. They just think they're supposed to dance. But this is Pigpen and the Dead are forcing you to dance.
There is no, yes, you must submit.
Yes,
all right,
say Vitus, watch out.
August 6, 1971, on the floor. This is what it really is, about as close to time travel as you're going to get. This is about what it probably sounded like in the Palladium on that fateful day.
Baby,
So I've always had a distrust because of the possibility that music could be made to manipulate people somehow. The minute you discover something in the course of performing that automatically sets the audience on fire, the thing to do is to immediately forget about that and rip it up, you know. Because the second time you try it, or the second time you use that idea, it's a trick. It's a manipulation of some sort.
That quote seemed appropriate after seeing Garcia completely light up that audience of... No one could recover from that experience. That was hard to handle fallout from the Phil Zone, still, if it's still available. It was one of the best samplers of Grateful Dead music ever released. You're listening to the Grateful Dead Zone, and I'm sitting with Henry Kaiser. So to say this is a special edition of the Grateful Dead Zone would be a grotesque understatement, because Henry has brought a great concept, which is to the table, which is, well, and Garcia hit it out of the park, whether it's a solo, a voice, or just being a part of an amazing ensemble performance. Because, you know, the thing about the Dead, they contain multitudes. Everything is always different. Every year is different. You know, you saw them over the course of a long period of time.
You know, we're following the usual format of your show, where it's the format of a real Grateful Dead two-set show, with somewhat where they play songs and things like that. But we're not just doing live stuff. We're looking at studio stuff, too. So you've got a studio track here.
Right. Not just a studio track, but a brand new studio track that literally came out last week. They're coming out with a collector's edition of... Mars Hotel. No, that was 1974, I think. Where does that album, where does that fit in your Dead lexicon?
That's a good sounding record. You know, that's a follow-up to several great records before it, and it's different personnel in the band, and there you go.
And
it's a Phil Lesh song.
It's a Phil Lesh song, and Phil sings, too.
Yes.
Let Phil sing, as they'd say. Just want to point out, ladies and germs, cats and coyotes, that this is a pledge drive edition of the Grateful Dead Zone. So if you enjoy this show, and every Saturday at noon to 2, you like what's going on under the bandwidth of KSQD, this would be an excellent time to quantify that feeling and, call us, 831-900-5773, 831-900-5773. And Henry, you can attest I did not look up. I actually remembered that number, which is the first time ever, I think, in a pledge drive. So maybe while up.
You know, I love coming on Eric's show and getting to do this. And the reason we both get to do this, old geezer deadheads, is that the station is here. And this station cannot be here without you, the listeners. So if you're getting excited about this music, listen a while longer, and a little later in the show, if you're still, we're still delivering the goods of Jerry delivering the goods, you know, give us a call.
It's your turn, basically, to deliver the goods of a donation.
You know, we couldn't be here without you. So we thank you, you know.
And I couldn't say it better, but I think it's time to let Phil sing, let Phil sing.
Familiar faces in an empty window pane. Listening for the secret, searching for the sound. But I could only hear the preacher and the baying of his hounds. Say love your brother, but you'll catch it when you try. Throw you down the landboard, drop you for a loss. Ride you out on a cold railroad and nail a slow winter day, and that light forever seemed like a storm, flowed like a feather.
Broken Chain, Mr. Phil Lesh. It's beautiful. It's a new remix of that, Henry. It just came out last week of Mars Hotel. Beautiful. Crystalline, again, mix, don't you think?
Yeah. No, that's a beautiful job of them playing together in the studio, of a complicated song with a lot of Baroque, both guitar and keyboard playing on it.
It shows, yeah, they could kick it. They could do it in the studio when they were sufficiently inspired. It's an underrated record.
You know, and they're serving the song. You know, and the last thing we heard, The Hard to Handle, Jerry's serving the dancing crowd and the rest of the band. And here, he's totally serving that song.
Beautiful, beautiful. This is the Grateful Dead Zone on KSQD. I'm with the... great Henry Kaiser. Oh, well, you're blushing, I can tell. But yeah. Henry's joining me for, well, we'll have 2 hours and 1 hour and, what am I looking at here? 2 hours and 15 minutes left of great Grateful Dead music. I just did the math. Pretty impressive.
And we got something great that just fills up the last part of this hour.
From what many Deadheads, a lot of people consider one of the greatest, if not the greatest, Grateful Dead concert of all time. I don't even think it's the greatest Dead concert of the year it came out, but an excellent, excellent performance. So let's go to the Creamery Benefit, Vinita, Oregon, August 27th, 1972.
you know, I'll show you snow and rain. If you hear that same sweet song again, you know why. So sweet is passing by. Laugh in the sunshine, sing, cry in the dark, fly through the night.
KSQD Santa Cruz, 90.7 FM. KSQT Prunedale, 89.7 FM and translator K208 GE, Monterey, 89.5 FM.
Hi, I'm Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead. Public and community radio were very important to our early development. They continue to be a source of inspiration and information. They also serve as an important vehicle for many of our pet projects. I subscribe. I urge you to pledge your support. Thank you.
And Jerry Garcia would not lie. Eh, Henry Kaiser?
No, that's him in heaven. Just called in on the phone and recorded that message for us.
And he's not the only person who's communicated with us. Well, welcome, Cats and Kittens. Greetings, Cats and Kittens and Foxes and Coyotes. If you're just tuning in, expecting to hear the Grateful Dead Zone, well, I've got good and bad news for you. This is the Grateful Dead Zone, but you just missed an hour because we started early. But go to our archive tomorrow and click on What a Week, our two-week archive, and you can hear the first hour, so never fear.
And what we're doing today is we're playing those moments when Jerry really delivers the goods, be it guitar playing, singing, storytelling, being part of a big band, whatever. This is like when Jerry transcends. That's the show. We picked our favorite stuff.
And who are you, strange man in the studio? Well, it's Henry Kaiser.
Right, the old guitarist.
Yeah,
who's
the little old guitarist is you. Yeah. Who's come in, just if you're just tuning in. Henry Kaiser is going to join us for the next 2 hours, as he has for the past hour, to talk over great things about the Grateful Dead and great reasons why to, well, donate to this fine radio station, KSQD, that makes it all possible. And you've got a secret way, a secret backdoor to donate.
You know, we've been talking about the phone number to call, but there's another way. You can just go to KSQD.org, and you can donate there. You know, if you don't want to have to talk to folks here on the phone, you can do it in the privacy of just yourself and the internet.
And we've gotten a couple of those have come across the transom. I don't want to mention their name. Well, we had one goes under the name of Anonymous. Strange, it's Anonymous Bosch, I think.
You know, I tried to change my name in court, but they wouldn't let me.
Yeah, well, and that's maybe the same thing as John or Jane Doe. But Anonymous, so if you called in around 11:20, we thank you for your donation. And Kevin Vance is not anonymous. And his message is, all power to the cephalopods.
Is this Kevin Vance from KPFA?
It's a Kevin Vance. I don't know.
Longtime DJ, which I used to be on KPFA. For 17 years, I did the morning concert.
And so you know the fine tradition of, I think, that Jerry Garcia promo, actually. I hate to break it to you. He did not phone in from Guitar Heaven. I think that was from originally for KPFA. He did it. But it's all in the same spirit.
So I remember one time on KPFA, I did it for 17 years, and one day we did a plug like this for the morning concert, raising money, and we made the most money anybody had ever made in the history of KPFA in a single plug. And it was me and another co-host.
And what was the consequence of that incredible
thing? The consequence of that was the station director, who wanted to get rid of music on the station, called up first my co-host and said, okay, you're fired. Music shouldn't be popular. It shouldn't make this much money. We don't want music on the station. We just want Pacifica feed with talk. And then I called up and quit. After 17 years, after raising the most money everybody had ever made in a plug, it was a sad day not being on KPFA anymore.
But thank you. And you are actually on KSQD.
Right.
So KPFA's loss is
so
KSQD.
So I'm here to testify from that old battle scarred that I am, that it's not like that at KQSD. We love you, and KSQD wants to serve the listeners. And if you like this program and if you like this music, the station is so happy to have you support it. You know, they're not going to turn into a sports betting station like KGO Commercial Radio did suddenly and pull the rug out from under you. We're here for you. But it is a listener-supported station, so you've got to be here for us a little bit. So we thank you, and we thank you especially more if you can either call. What number is that?
That number, and I'm looking at the number because I'll forget it, is 420 after all, 831-900-5773. 831-900-5773. And we're going to play now 12 minutes of music, and we're hoping to get 12 phone calls, one for every minute of music. And let's actually get back to the music. Yeah, this was an odd choice for you. I've never known you as a big fan of 80s Grateful Dead. You're more a primal psychedelic 1968, 1967 acid-enhanced Grateful Dead fan. But this particular thing came from Frost Amphitheater on April 27th, 1985.
You know, and of course, there is great stuff in later Grateful Dead. I grew up going to live shows and seeing old stuff from 67 on, gosh. And but this is special. It's kind of nostalgia, the way that the In the Dead's playing, the way that The Cold Rain and Snow we played at the top of the first hour was. It's dancing in the streets, but they stopped playing it the disco way for this show and went back to the old Avalon Ballroom dance hall way of playing Dancing in the Streets.
So as we let the music play, as Robert Hunter, I think that was actually Barlow who wrote that lyric, let the music play. Once again, 831-900-5773. Please call. We'd love to speak to you. And if you're a fan of the Grateful Dead Zone, a fan of KSQD, a fan of life itself, you'll call that number and donate to this fine, fine radio station, because we can't do it alone. We need you, the listener, and you out there, the deadhead.
Long lines, anytime dancing in the street. Sun goes down. As you all know, you just can't believe everything you see and hear, can you? Now, if you will excuse me, I must be on my way.
Relics in Psychedelics. Join your musical hosts, Michael B. and Bobby, for a trip into the psychedelic past every Wednesday from 1 to 3 p.m. on 90.7 FM. KSQD Santa Cruz.
KSQD thanks Good Times for supporting this program. Good Times provides local news and entertainment information every Wednesday. Available online at goodtimes.sc and in print at locations throughout Santa Cruz County. Thank you, Good Times, for supporting community radio, KSQD.
A doubleheader. Dancing in the Streets in Bertha Frost Amphitheater, April 27th, 1985. This is a very special edition of the Grateful Dead Zone, special for three reasons. One, well, it's 420. We know what that means. And looking at you, pretty much everyone listening to this show.
I thought it was 1220 now.
No, well, it's 1220 and 420. I'm getting spaced out myself, and I haven't even gone down the street to the dispensary. Secondly, this show is being co-hosted by the great Henry Kaiser. Say hello, Henry.
Hey, hello.
And we're looking at, well, moments when Jerry Garcia hits it out of the park, particularly striking bits of Jerry Garcia working his guitar magic. And last and completely, utterly, and totally not least, it's our pledge drive. So this is the time, if you're a regular listener of the Grateful Dead Zone, and we know who you are out there, you can express your love with a donation to this fine radio station, because we do not, only love we ever quantify and really ever get is during these pledge drives. And we keep score of these things, and it's nice. It'll be nice to know that Grateful Dead Zone listeners can make it to the phone and call 831-900-5773 or go to ksqd.org. Because why ksqd.org? Why is that an interesting backdoor, Henry Kaiser?
Oh, because it's private and secure. You don't have to talk to us. I don't know. But one thing I would say is the phone number to call is 831-900-5773. Like in the old days, this is like 30 years ago, they taught us if you say the first three digits of a phone number is 100, that people don't donate. So now I've said 900-7773.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
This is all these psychological things, but yes.
When I went to plugging school long ago.
Plugging school.
Plugging Academy. It was actually Academy. Plugging Academy.
So we have a veteran donation solicitor with Henry Kaiser. Unlike me, who can barely remember the phone number. But my passion is there, and the music speaks for itself. And speaking of music, you know what? You can't do a Grateful Dead Zone without a reappearance at this point. If you missed the first hour, we already saw this gentleman. But yes, it's time once again for that mighty main man with a master plan, the man who puts the word show in male chauvinism, the one, the only Pigpen. And this is your choice, Henry. What about this particular song commends your attention?
So this is a broadcast from KQED Television in San Francisco. No, this one, we're not playing that
This
one?
Is from Three from the Vault. This is the easy win from Three from
oh,
the Vault.
Oh, you're playing a different one.
Yes, well, it was on your list here. It was Three from the Vault. Yeah, I saw it. But this is that, yes, it is not, we could play this and pretend, but you know, they're Grateful Deadheads,
yes,
who would listen.
Okay, I thought we had that other one.
No, we don't. No, unfortunately. I put the the Three from the Vault for, I have a proof of the email here. Okay. But you did choose that, and this is, it was one of our choices. And Easy Wind in general was always a showcase.
A great Robert Hunter song that Pigpen sings with really...
Was it a Hunter lyric?
Yeah, yeah. It's got really nice drumming, and it's just a great song. It, you know, people don't play it that much.
Well, we play it here in the Grateful Dead Zone. Once again, I should say 831-900-5773.
That's right.
So you can teach an old dog new tricks. Call that number, and once again, it's the Mighty Main Man, February 18th, 1971.
have I been chopping up rocks for the great highway? I live 5 years if I take my time, falling in jack and drinking my wine. Easy. You never hear a word to say.
serve a cheek.
Something I've noticed on this show, Henry Kaiser, is Pigpen, for this, the reputation of the biker, big, burly, bad Pigpen, every time he sings a song, he always says thank you to the audience. Always. He said it there. No matter how out of crazy he gets, he always, thank you, thank you.
He learned that lesson from the rhythm and blues stars he loved, from Otis Redding and people like that. He learned that lesson from them.
And he was a sweet guy.
He thanked the audience, and we thank the audience here.
Ooh,
KSQD.
What a segue.
Yes.
Well done, Henry.
Thank you. Thank you for those who've called to support the station. You know, we do it for you. We have fun ourselves, but we do it for you out there.
And we do have a lot of fun on the Grateful Dead Zone. So we're going to switch gears to go back into the studio. And again, this is, you're the professional world-famous musician, not me, but the Dead studio records don't, to me, have that, quote, X factor that often. I mean, but sometimes they got it.
So, yeah, this does have that X factor. This is Bob Weir's solo album, Ace, but it is the Grateful Dead with Keith on piano backing them. And playing in the band had just expanded from a song with no solos that was played pretty briefly. It's
on Skull and Roses. It's a five-minute short version.
And that's the way they'd played it for years. And suddenly they opened it up and put a jam in the middle. This is a song that's in the time signature of 10. It was originally a song called Main 10 that was kind of an instrumental thing to start with.
And didn't that come out of Mickey Hartland, the
it
Main 10?
It came out of Mickey Hartland, so it's, yeah. But this is one of the best versions, the studio version. It's kind of, you know, there's so many people talk about the best playing in the bands and all the live ones. This one, with the improv in it and everything, is just super terrific.
And we're, again, the Grateful Dead Zone. Now would be a great time to call whilst you, you want to listen to the song, but you can turn the radio up loud in the background. We don't mind. 831-900-5773. Henry's nodding because I've done the professional. We can't say 900, apparently.
Right.
So anyway.
But anyway, so Jerry is just outstanding in the studio often, and this is a prime example.
I don't trust nothing, but I know it.
put the fake audience noise in there. Remember how they used to do studio and they do fake live albums?
Yes.
So there's the
yes.
fake, that was the yes. studio recording playing in the band. You're listening to the Grateful Dead Zone, a special 420 and pledge drive edition. And sitting right in front of me, the great Henry Kaiser, who certainly knows more about the Grateful Dead than most mortal humans and absolutely understands their core of musicianship. You understand them on a musical level, which not a lot of people can do. So I'm going to give you credit. You must take it. It is an order.
Sorry.
But that we're going to move now to, well, I know one of your favorite periods, the 1967-68 psychedelic period. And there's an interview bite from Garcia on this exact performance, I think, from the Grateful Dead movie, Henry. You may not have heard this. You remember the Grateful Dead movie?
Yeah,
but this is a revealing. But the performance he's talking about, I think we can carbon date it not to this particular performance. Let's just listen to Garcia on that subject of musicianship.
There's no relationship that I've ever been able to hear on tapes between the way I feel and the way it went down, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter how I feel.
It doesn't?
No. I haven't been able to hear it matter. It matters how I feel to me, of course, because that, you know, I feel that way, you know. I come off the stage, boy, sometimes really, really upset, you know. And when I was younger, I would get even more upset. I'd get more crazy. I would want it to be really good, you know, and I'd think, wow, it's not where it should be. It's almost there, but it's not there, and I get really angry. I remember one time we did the carousel and we recorded. I got really upset at the end of the set. I thought it was just horrible for some reason. I thought it seemed like everything was a struggle. And I got real pissed off at Phil and grabbed him and threw him down this little flight of stairs. You know, it's like, man, I've never done that in film. I've been really tight with him for years. I was that freaked out, you know, and high, too, you know, flipped out, and music was f***ed, you know. And then we listened to these tapes months later and ended up using them on our album, and they were crackling with energy. They were amazing, but, you know, that's what I knew, that, I just got to learn to keep my mouth shut, you know, and just not even think about whether it seemed like it was happening to me or not.
Do you find that from yourself, where you're playing on stage and you don't think it's working, and then you play it back, or
just don't worry?
Well, yeah, I know that.
I don't worry about it.
Just leave it there and move on to next.
It always sounds the same to me as what I remember from live to when I hear a recording.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The connection is.
It always sounds the same to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know when it's good, and then it turns out later it's good on tape. Yeah.
I love when. Garcia says, yeah, you know, I threw Phil down the stairs. You know, I've been close to him for years. Really? Oh, we did not know, Jerry, that you and Phil Lesh were buddies there. Thanks for pointing that out to us. Garcia, as he said, he was a compulsive question answerer. Like, he always would do his level best to answer any question incredibly thoughtfully, articulately, and at a rapid fire, brilliant, dense thing. But we'll hear some more of that.
So we heard one song with lyrics by Bobby Peterson early in the show.
Unbroken Chain.
There's also on that Mars Hotel album, there's Pride of Cucamonga with lyrics by him. And they're both songs where Lesh had written the music. Now we go back a long time ago. Is this 67, right?
68. This would be March 17th, 68, and the Carousel Ballroom. So this Garcia was certainly talking about the Anthem of the Sun, where they were recording a lot of shows. So it may not have been this, but we're narrowing it down, though. This is part of this recorded at the Carousel Ballroom on March 17th. We're not sure what part, but we know it's parts of it.
We know this starts off live and then it turns into the studio. And it has a wonderful jam from Jerry where he's just testifying with the guitar in a special way, testifying to the psychedelic guitar gods.
Well, speaking of testifying, that number 831-900 or 900-5773. I would love to hear from you if you're a fan of the Grateful Dead Zone or KSQD or Santa Cruz or all three. This would be an excellent time to call in and quantify your love. But meanwhile, let's go to the Carousel, March 17th, 1968, interspersed with, well, hear it for yourself.
the flesh to cry out loud. This ground on which the seed of love is sown. Instruments on this ground.
Ever so infrequently, you, the extraordinarily sagacious public, is fortunate to be a party to an artistic breakthrough so revolutionary that it changes the course of that which it is an outgrowth of or has been nurtured within. So original and artistically creative is that which I am speaking of that it may very well become a touchstone to which others try, but usually with little success, to emulate. So creatively original, originally created, and bolder than bold, cleaner than clean, newer than new is the new Grateful Dead long-playing record album of music and other things that we cannot tell you its title over these airwaves. So, if you're curiously cognizant, co-consciously creative, courageously clever, and neat, why don't you drop in and ask your local record dealer for the new Grateful Dead stout-hearted and unexpurgated album. It's on the Warner Brothers 7 Arts label. This album has been rated.
How did the Fire Sign Theater sneak in here? Well, that was New Potato Caboose, and I could hear the sound of Phil Lesh being thrown down the stairs after that guitar solo. So recorded, I think, at the Carousel Ballroom, which was always, what, an old, like a big band dance on Van Ness Avenue, if I remember correctly.
Yes, just like the Avalon was on Van Ness, too.
Yeah, there be giants, there be legendary places, halls of music. This is the Grateful Dead Zone with Eric Nelson, special guest host
Henry Kaiser.
And we're unpacking magical moments of Jerry Garcia. We're, in essence, the man really, quote, hit it out of the park, unquote. So
what was the most magical moment you were ever personally a witness to live with Jerry Garcia? I'll tell you mine.
I would say my only dark star was Halloween of 1991. Bill Graham had passed away the week before. So they brought out a dark star, and they got into some serious psychedelic stomping. And then Ken Kesey came out on stage and recited an E.E. Cummings poem about Mr. Death. And then the band kind of shifted up from there. So as far as, like, whoa, everything you would want to see and commemorating that moment. So you saw how fast it took me to answer that question.
Yeah.
What's yours?
Well, I have two. I have a Jerry Garcia moment, which is not a Grateful Dead moment, which is we were, Jeremy Marr and I, British film director, he was making a documentary about improvisation and its nature and practice in music, hosted by Derek Bailey, British guitarist, who's one of my other number one guitar heroes besides Jerry. And we went to talk to Garcia on camera about improvisation, and he's in the film, and there's some Grateful Dead stuff, and it's really nice, and we had a wonderful time. But the two of them played together. Two of my heroes who had never played together, played together acoustic for us. And it was so good. No. It was just like this pure insane. And it was like one of the biggest musical challenges for Jerry ever to play with this guy. But it was natural because they were both fluent improvisers. And it was just amazing. We filmed it. Didn't make the show. Jeremy Marr died.
Please tell me that
his archives went away, so we'll never see it.
Oh, really? You didn't? Oh, Henry, shouldn't I? Because this is where we're supposed to say, and we just happened to have a tape of that magical moment.
Nope, sorry. And then I think just really early on, 68 or 67, I can't remember exactly when, but the bowling alley in Lake Tahoe that's partly on Anthem of the Sun and on another, is it on a Dick's Picks? I think so.
Well, that was a psychedelic beast.
And
too.
I was at that show.
Whoa.
So that was a Grateful Dead moment. And just another funny story, which you know, but the listeners don't. A friend of mine says, hey, I hear there's this cool thing happening at Longshoreman's Hall in San Francisco, that building that looks like a flying saucer that we like at Fisherman's Wharf.
This is 12-year-old Henry Kaiser.
Or 13 or something. And he says, let's take the bus over and go see what it is. So we take the bus over. There's this big line of people. They're just opening it up, charging money. Or I can't remember if they're charging money or not, but we walked around, and it's all adults, and we're the only kids there. And we walk around the building. In the back, the door opens like a fire escape door, and a guy comes out in a space suit with a space helmet on, like a bad 50s movie, and he says, hey kids, you want to come in? And we said, yeah. He says, come on in. And it was the Longshoreman's Hall acid test. We didn't drink the Kool-Aid, but we watched for a while, and it was just the Grateful Dead playing crazy noise music and stuff. And then I found out later on that the guy in the spacesuit was Ken Kesey, which I didn't know. So what year's that acid?
That'd be 65.
65, I know.
So you got on the
bus. We didn't even know it was the Grateful Dead. We didn't know about the Grateful Dead. There was just these guys making all this noise and guitar feedback and stuff on stage.
Well, hearing some of your more experimental solo records now, I kind of understand where those came from.
Yes, you were initiated.
Well, let's go. We talked earlier about Garcia's singing and just how he could always deliver a complex story. And we talked about two strands are going to come together here. This is Jerry Garcia telling a very complex story, Bob Dylan's Visions of Johanna, a song that no one dare cover. You know, that's not a song that I'm hard-pressed to think of anybody. It's not like Just Like a Woman or something. And Jerry delivers it, and this track is on Fallout from the Phil Zone. So Phil picked this out, and it's basically recorded, I think, 4 months before Garcia's death. This is March of 1995,
yep.
And these were not good shows. This was, but, you know, this song is Garcia with 1 foot over the abyss looking in. You know, it feels like it's 4 a.m. in the morning when he's doing this. And it's an amazingly haunting performance.
You know, that's an interesting thing to point out, that a lot of time in a Garcia performance, he's reaching both backwards and forwards in time at the same time as being present in the moment, because he's thinking about Bob Dylan and the history with Dylan, when they played with Dylan, the love of Dylan, doing Dylan songs before they met Dylan, Palo Alto acoustic days with Dylan. And then he's, as you say, looking into the abyss and expressing all those things are tied through his performance, intertwined through his performance.
Well, it's hard to segue from that beautiful, beautiful introduction, Henry, to the from the sublime to the prosaic. That's 831-900-5773. And if you like music like this, with brilliant, and again, thank you for joining us, commentary like this from Henry Kaiser, and you support this fine radio station, be an excellent time to pick up that phone, don't you think?
Yeah, and folks, if you notice, there are no advertisements on this radio station.
Well, the Firesign Theater just did one for a record that came out almost over 50 years ago.
But there's no commercial advertisements and stuff. I mean, you listen to NPR, and there's still these fake ads of people who support the shows and things like that. There's no ads here. It's the listeners support this station, and we thank you for that. And we hope that those of you who have not supported the station in the past could call that number now, the 831-900-5773, or go to ksqd.org and donate there without having to talk to anybody.
Well, in the words of Nietzsche, sometimes when you look into the abyss looks back at you. Visions of Joanna.
of the ladies play. Blind man's blood with the keychain. The all-night girls, they whisper of escapades out on the DJ. We can hear the night watcher click his flashlight, task himself to see him, and then that's insane. She's all right, she's just me. She's delicate, seems like her name. She makes it so concise and so clear that Joanna's not here. The ghost of electricity howls in the bones of her face. Salvation must be like after a while. Mona Lisa must have had them highway blues. You can tell by the way she smiles. Love your boyfriend. When the G
find my knees. Jewels and binoculars hang from the head of the moon. These visions of Joanna make it all seem so cruel. The peddler now speaks. He's pretending to care for you. Saying the name is someone that's not a parasite. And I'll go out and say a prayer for you. But like Louise always says, you can't look at much, can you, ma'am? As she herself prepared for you. Donna, she still has not shown. You see this empty cage down the road, where the cape of the stage once had flown. The villain now steps through the road, writes everything's been returned, which was old. Of the fisherman loads while my conscience explodes. Oh, harmonica keys, the skeleton keys in the rain. Visions of Joanna.
This is Paul Hine, and I'm one of the hosts of the weekly music show, Runs on Grasoline. If you like bluegrass, folk, and Americana music, tune in to KSQD 90.7 FM, Saturdays at 2 p.m. Runs on Grasoline, here on K-Squid, community radio for the Monterey Bay Area.
Well, not only did Jerry Garcia sing that beautifully and emotively, remembered all the lyrics without a teleprompter, Henry Kaiser.
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Yeah, I mean, again, who dares to cover Visions of Joanna? That would be Jerry Garcia. This is Eric Nelson with Henry Kaiser, and we're in the last 45 minutes of a special three-hour celebration of the times, which were legion when Jerry Garcia hit it out of the park. And we're also, yes, indeed, it's Pledge at Drive time. And I want to remind everyone that Bruce Larson has issued a challenge, i.e. if you call the magic phone number 831-9005-773, whatever you pledge will be matched by Mr. Bruce Larson. So thank you to Bruce. But all the more reason you should be calling in because, well, Henry,
you can make your dollars count double if you support us now with this matching grant.
Double your pleasure, double your fun with Doublemint gum and a KSQD pledge drive. If you remember that
yourself.
Commercial.
You're dating yourself.
Yeah, you remember that commercial.
They're
old enough to have gone to an acid test in 1965 is all I can say.
Yeah, that's the one where they'd show the twins and you'd get the two twins for girlfriends if you chew the gum.
That's exactly right. The golden era of advertising. How can we digress more? Not very. So we're going to go for a 20-minute. Now, I wanted to play the Not Fade Away Going Down the Road from Skull and Roses.
Which is great.
But my argument was, well, it'd be nice to play one thing that people might actually have in their record collection, which is to say the version of this next medley on Skull and Roses is absolutely fantastic. So we're not knocking that. but you picked this version of this particular medley from Halloween of 1971. And why?
I think this is really fascinating because the Dead are using a musical dramatic device, a narrative device they'd use called terrace dynamics, where you go along at one level, everybody's really excited and dancing, and then you kick it up a little higher. Then you go along at that level. Then you kick it up a little higher again. And this is a classic example of them doing that.
It's called terrace, again.
Terraced dynamics.
And that's a thing. That's
yes, it's a musical term.
It's a secret.
Not often used.
It's a secret thing that you rock and roll musicians have, a secret. We civilians are not.
Yes.
But now that I know, am I going to have to be killed immediately? Or
at the end of the show.
At the end
well,
of the
we
show.
We want to make sure we do well in the fun drive first.
So,
But at any rate, this is really interesting because Jerry goes for a long time in going down the road feeling bad, and he's a little out of tune for a while, and then he stops and tunes the guitar, and then he kicks it up higher and higher. And this is from Dick's Picks 2?
Yeah, Dick's Picks 1, I believe. The very first Dick's Picks, I think.
No, it's not.
No, Dick's Picks 2. Dick's
two,
Picks 1 was the Florida 70.
But anyway,
God, in fact, I remember that. And I don't know my youngest daughter's middle name, but I can remember that.
So if you love the Grateful Dead, you love the Not Fade Away, going down the road feeling bad, Not Fade Away. This is a most unusual one and a most excellent one.
And 20 minutes here, folks, to call 831-900-5773. We'll be giving a station ID. And, Henry, if you pop in on mic at a certain point to let people know about the switch,
it's sacrilege.
I'll have to ID the station. But once again, please, if you're a fan of the Grateful Dead Zone, appreciate the fine work this radio station does in totality, call 831-900-5773. Columbus, Ohio, Halloween night, 1971.
Thank you. Hey, 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 hey. I wanna be treated this way.
Where do you follow that?
Yeah, that's the oldest trick in the book, the rave up at the end.
Yeah, and it goes on and it goes on. But,
oldest trick in the book.
Yeah, as I was saying, that
works every time.
It works every time. What did you call it again? The step. We call it the step escalation clause.
The terrace dynamics from Mr. Jerry Garcia and the band, and that is an extreme example of the Grateful Dead raising the ante, repetition, change, raise the ante. Yeah.
Now, is this something, 1971 Halloween Night in Columbus? Is this something Henry Kaiser they're consciously doing, or they're just
They're consciously doing that.
So they know
it's a trick.
And really, interesting.
Yeah, and Jerry feels like playing, so they let him go, and then to make the rest of the band and the audience feel good about him keeping playing for so long at the end of Not Fade Away, they keep going higher and higher and higher and higher, and they never hit the ceiling.
Well, speaking of Jerry Garcia, this is from an interview I did back 1983, imagine, April 1983, and talking about all things musical.
It's always surprising that somebody likes what you're doing, I mean, you expect to like it yourself because it's what you do, But it's always mind-boggling when somebody else likes it, It's, you like this too? Far out. You can't go on stage in the Grateful Dead and assume anything. If you do it, it's like asking for things to work out wrong. I'm delighted that it can be like that because it means that it's comfortable. It's a comfortable fit for a human, you know what I mean? It works okay.
It's really tough for aliens from other planets, though. When they,
but is that a great line?
Easy for a human.
But what a great line. A comfortable fit for a human.
Right.
And I bet if you Googled a Garcia interview, he never said that again. Hey, man, we hung out with Jerry Garcia, man. You spent way more time with Jerry Garcia than I did, Henry. But my, observation was just the phrase thoughtful does him an injustice. This is a guy whose brain, mind was always working and churning and great conversationalist. And you were just kind of Mr. Anytime you want to drop by, you can waltz into the dressing room because Jerry just liked to hang out with you, correct?
That sort of mysteriously happens. Very strange for a Grateful Dead fan to have that happen. But that, I had a laminate, always stall tours, and I could do that. It was weird.
They obviously don't know about you what I know about you, but We won't go into that on the radio, will we?
No.
You're listening to KSQD Santa Cruz, KSQT Prunedale, 89.5, 89.7, and 90.7, and KSQD.org. And a pick a peck of pickled peppers as well as that. This is our pledge drive, and there's still time. There's 20 minutes of the
grateful. There's a matching grant going.
Matching grant, Bruce Larson, a matching grant.
Thank you,
so
Bruce.
So double your pleasure, double your fun, We already ran through that once. We do not need to do it again. But definitely call us, 831-900-5773 or 900-5773, I've been instructed to say.
Let me ask, since I don't work here like you, what's the recommended amount when you donate?
There is no recommended amount.
What do people typically do?
They really don't, and that's the thing. And my, you
so
know,
if somebody gives $10.
$10's great.
Then another $10 will come in.
Will come in. We'll double it, exactly. And if somebody donates $1 million, would be, well, actually, Bruce Larson hasn't going to go to those heights. But you're certainly well comfortable under the, say, $400 limit, he said, hinting at what the thing. So if you're planning on the donation and you have $400, and I hope you do, that'll automatically be doubled. I think that's how it works. All right, well, let's go. We started this. You were at the in the audience here at the Boston Music Hall on June 9th of 1976.
I was there. Yep.
Anything you can remember about that show to set the stage for this?
Barely, but this is an unusual example of playing Franklin's Tower for the last song in the second set.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Not the, I think an encore. Big than that.
Yeah,
they
like
played there.
What?
They came in after the equivalent of that Not Fade Away. And they ended the set, and then people yelled and screamed for 2 hours, and then they came on stage and did this. Go figure.
And they did it a little differently. And it's a, you know, they have to raise the ante because it's the encore.
Yeah, exactly. Once again, 831-900-5773. And let's go to the encore. Henry, you were there. We're looking at you right now, your eyes spinning like pinwheels out in the audience.
Good ring, baby, you can touch. Thank you.
And then a much younger Henry Kaiser staggered out near the Boston Common and said, I have this weird premonition. I'm much older, and I'm sitting in a radio station, and I'm trying to raise money for the radio station. Wait, I'm having a blank. And then you faded out.
I remember that moment
vividly. The Grateful Dead Zone with Eric Nelson.
Henry Kaiser.
And we're not done yet, but we're getting pretty darn close. I know the fat man has been singing, if not the fat lady. So we have a little bit of music left on this Pledge Drive edition of the Grateful Dead Zone. And this, Henry, is, I bet you haven't heard it. This is from the Angels Share excerpt from the Mars Hotel. They just put this out last week. So brand new old Grateful Dead music. Has not been played. Just came out, I think, on Thursday.
Yep.
And this is an alternate take of this well-known chestnut. So do you want to hear it?
Play it, play it, play it.
Sam, how do you do? Give me five. I'm still alive. Ain't no luck. I learned to duck. Check my pulse. It don't change. Stay 72. Shine or rain, wave the flag, pop the bag, rock the boat, skin the goat.
2:30.
And there's the audience. What? It was a studio track. Where did that audience get in there? Well, I want to thank Adrian Cozy, who donated to this fine radio station just in, and there will be a matching donation backing her up. So thank you very much, Adrian, for a show and this even finer radio station. KSQD, sitting literally in front of me. It's not one, but two. Double your pleasure, double your fun. Both hosts of Runs on Grasoline, Rhinestone Ray and Paul Hine, both of them are going to be showing up together. It's like getting Lennon and McCartney back, except both of you are alive. So how about that? Henry Kaiser, thank you. Thank you for joining
us.
Thank
you.
It's been a total pleasure to have you with us and to add all your...
Good to be on board.
Your massive insight into all things. Definitely keep listening. Once again, that number is 831-900-5773. And I would be in violation of so many FCC accords if I did not formally mention that this is KSQD Santa Cruz, KSQT Prunedale, 89.5, 89.7, and a somewhat compromised 90.7. So if you're trying to listen on that bandwidth, try 89.5, 89.7, or KSQD.org for full, intense Runs on Grasoline goodness. But Henry, why don't you introduce this last song? We're going to do one last
pause. You know, they say, why didn't you play this? Okay, we'll play it for you.
In the clouds of delusion, shall